Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the National Truth Is Our Bitch Tour Show, your official Truth Is Our Bitch Tour Show. And our one-man show is in rehearsal, and it's coming to a theater or to a back alley or to a dumpster. It's coming to something near you real soon.
Well, that's not a very good way of promoting it. Where are you going to be? What do you have in mind? What are the venues?
I don't want to say.
Phil, you've got to start talking. What are the venues? Theaters? I see you in a small theater.
I see you. That's like intensive care unit, but also...
Yes, isn't that funny? That's great.
Yeah. Thank you, bud.
Yeah. I see you, not the intensive care unit, but I see you, Phil, in the small theater. I see you playing colleges. I think your audience will be intimate, hip, oh, I don't know.
Well, thank you very much. I can see you've given it a lot of thought.
Well, I haven't given it enough thought, but I will.
Okay, great. Well, when we're ready to talk about that, we'll be ready to talk about that. But nonetheless, it's been a lot of fun. We also, of course, the Phil Hendry podcast available on iTunes, the Bobby Dooley podcast rolling out next week. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you have access to all of the raw material. Basically, if you look at the Phil Hendry Show as a... It's like a jewelry store. You have access through your backstage pass to the diamond mines in South Africa where all the slaves work.
All right.
Don't applaud that.
Why'd you say that, man?
I don't know. It just came out. Sorry.
My God. What do you mean where all the slaves work?
Well, you know full well, Margaret, that the diamond, the commerce in diamonds is rife with the enslavement of humans. And you know, all that jazz.
No, I don't know that. No, I don't. No, I'm sorry. I don't know that.
Well, I think you need to get...
Why do you think they call it blood diamond?
What?
Why do you think they call it blood diamond?
They call it a blood diamond because of the color.
No, not exactly. Blood diamond represents diamonds that have been extracted by slave labor. So...
Well, I mean, I thought slavers are legal.
We're not talking about America now. We're talking about, and I don't even think it's legal in South Africa. I think that this is, I don't know. It's only now really getting full play and exposure, if you'll, I almost said explosion. It's getting full play and explosion and exposure, and the things that have been done down through the years to get diamonds out of the rocks and the substrata of Southern Africa. And it's not been very pretty. So, you know, diamonds are beautiful. As the lady once sang, diamonds are forever.
Yes, I don't need love. I don't need a man. What will a man do for me? A diamond will never lie to me. You can undress a diamond in something else.
Yeah, that's the lyrics to that song.
What are you talking about, getting undressed and everything? That's gross.
Would you shut up? I'm talking about the song.
All right, easy. We don't want to piss off that lady that said that I do too much arguing with you guys, and,
Yeah, you know what, lady? Wherever you are, why don't you go ahead and pound it back, right back up where you... Wherever you got that comment, go right ahead and stick it back up in there.
What an animal. That was the most anti-feminine thing I could possibly imagine you to say.
There you go, bud.
I was only defending you. She's probably talking about how boring you are.
No, she's talking about you.
Easy. The story of the Duke mascot, we were asking where the Blue Devil came from. Wasn't that what you were asking about, bud?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. The story of the Duke mascot. During World War I, the Chasseurs Alpines were well-known French soldiers. They were nicknamed Les Diables Bleus. Okay? They first gained attention when their unique training and alpine knowledge was counted upon to break the stalemate of trench warfare in their native region of the French Alps. This is in World War I.
What? What's this got to do with a duke?
Yes, what does this have to do with basketball?
Will you allow me to finish? It obviously has something to do with it, because this was on the Duke University website. This is the explanation of the Duke mascot, the Blue Devil.
I told you it's about hell.
It ain't about hell. It's about World War I. That's pretty close. It's about soldiers. So the Chasseurs Alpines, nicknamed Les Diables Bleus, were well-known French soldiers. These are mountain soldiers. They're like our mountain division in our army. These were the French mountain soldiers. They were in the French Alps, which is in the southern part of the country. And they were battling the Italians and Germans down in... were the Italians... No, they weren't fighting the Italians in World War I.
Yeah, the Italians were a little confused. Whose side were they on, anyway?
The Italians were on our side in World War I, and they were on the German side in World War II, if I remember. All right. They first gained attention when their unique training and alpine knowledge was counted upon to break the stalemate of trench warfare in their native region of the French Alps. Unfortunately, in the Vosges campaign in March 1915, failed to alter the status quo, even though the Blue Devils won accolades for their courage. However, their distinctive blue uniform with flowing cape and jaunty beret captured the public's imagination. When the United States entered the war, units of the French Blue Devils toured the country, helping to raise money in the war effort. Irving Berlin captured their spirit in a song describing them as strong and active, most attractive, those devils, the Blue Devils of France.
Oh, my, that was Irving Berlin.
Who's he?
He wrote a bunch of songs. He was a famous songwriter. As the song was ending in Europe, the Trinity College Board of Trustees lifted its quarter-century ban of football on campus. After playing an intramural class schedule for 1 year, Trinity began intercollegiate competition in 1920. Just don't ask, bud, okay?
But they're calling Trinity, supposed to be Duke.
Quit getting a baby about it, okay, man? I'll get to it. Maybe they renamed the school.
Bob at the same school.
What are you crying for?
Well, why did you say he's getting a baby?
Sounds to me like he's going to give birth to a baby in 5 seconds. Take it easy. After playing an intramural class schedule for 1 year, Trinity began intercollegiate competition in 1920. That first year, the traditional nomenclature of the Trinity 11, the Blue and White, or the Methodists, as opposed to the Baptists of nearby Wake Forest, described the team. What?
Don't think, Phil. Just read.
Sorry. In September 1921, the student newspaper, the Trinity Chronicle, launched a campaign for a catchy name, one of our own possession, that would be instantly recognizable nationwide in songs, yells, and publicity. At a campus pep rally to stir up enthusiasm, it was pointed out that Georgia Tech was gaining recognition as the Golden Tornadoes, and that rival North Carolina State College had recently adopted the name Wolfpack. There were numerous nominations, including the Catabounce, Grizzlies, Badgers, Dreadnoughts, and Captains, which is in honor of the well-liked coach W.W. Cap Card. Believing a choice this is going on forever, man, okay?
Well, I've just got it from the French.
Yeah, let's just say they got it from the French.
Well, wait a minute. Are you going to read that or not?
I'm not going to read 18 chapters of this crap. They got it from the French because they had these guys with blue hats.
In other words, they got it from a bunch of guys that walked around looking like they ought to be in a... God, man.
What?
What's the matter?
They got their name from a bunch of guys all going, ooh. You know what they got their name from? A bunch of guys that basically sounded like this if they saw a guy get out of a van.
Oh!
That.
What are you trying to say, anyway?
I think you know.
Oh, I see. So they're effeminate because they wear blue. Do you know that Phil's favorite color is blue?
Sorry to hear that.
What's that supposed to mean?
No comment.
Oh, I get it. So blue is not manly, is that it?
I don't think it's the manliest of colors, no. I can think of a few more manly ones.
Like what?
What?
Like how? What color is more manly?
Brown. Any color, well, I hate to say it, but just brown. I'm comfortable with brown.
Why are you comfortable with brown, or do I need to ask?
Because
it's the color of waste, is that it?
And I think that's manly, yeah.
So, Bud, you're so homophobic.
I'm not homophobic.
Yeah, you are. You're so homophobic that anything that even smacks of gay, you don't like blue, you like brown. You're comfortable with the color of crap.
Yeah, that's because your brain made of crap.
No, not at all. Just I'm comfortable with it. Why, is there something wrong with being comfortable with brown and yellow?
Brown and yellow. God. Wow.
Woo, man.
Anything that just reminds you of excrement and waste, you're just fine with that, huh?
I think you're on a safe side then, yeah.
Well, Bud, there's nothing effeminate about the color blue unless Phil's wearing it. I'm sorry, Phil, I'm only kidding.
Ha
ha ha. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. More news to report on. Weird stuff happening all across this fruity country of ours. Horse meat scandal exposes a very complex food chain. In London, a horse meat scandal. Get a load of this, man. Does it lead to your dinner table? Maybe. I'm kidding. And a Red Sox prospect shoots himself in the leg. Some dumbass kid that signed with the Boston Red Sox shot himself in the leg. Ha 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 ha! Boy, that's funny. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show. Not anymore. We are strictly just bat, bat, bat. We're just a talk show, man, now. We're not the news talk label we've dropped because it's poison. It's poison. I'm not calling this thing no news talk show. No way, man.
Well, why are you saying that?
Because it's just not going to be a news talk show. And we'll get David Hall on for a few seconds here to talk about this, as we've been meaning to, as a matter of fact, because, David, you know that News Talk is finished, right?
Well, you know, Phil, when you say News Talk is finished, I would ask you to consider that there are stations that you're on, how many I don't know, that still call themselves News Talk stations.
Well, but am I not entitled to an opinion? Am I not entitled to not only express an opinion, but express an informed opinion?
Well, you're entitled to express an informed opinion, but when you say that News Talk is finished, you make people think that it's finished across the board. You know that it's still very viable at the local level.
I said that. I said that local News Talk shows are doing very, very, very well, but national shows are not. And so when we began doing our show, we said we're a News Talk and entertainment show. Really, what this show is about is humor, and it's about entertainment, and it's about just a whole lot of weird stuff like that. So I don't even need to pretend any longer that we do News Talk.
Well, there was a period of time when you were doing your show way back in the day when you needed to say it was a talk, you know, a News Talk show. So you were giving a sort of a veneer to the satire that you were doing. But now that people are deserting, advertisers are deserting News Talk, I suppose you don't have to use that label any longer. But I would just hasten to add, it isn't because people don't want to talk about things in the news.
Well, it may not be because people don't want to talk about things in the news, but it is because advertisers are deserting because they're tired of the controversy, they're tired of the boycotts, they're tired of the this, that, and something else, and they're going to sports radio.
Yes, they're going over to sports radio. I think what they want is anything that isn't news talk. What they're looking for is what is not controversial. They'll go to anything that's got ratings that is not going to cause a problem. They'll go to anything that's got ratings that isn't going to create a problem for them. For instance, somebody calling them up and saying, we're going to boycott your product because we don't like the so-and-so show because, you know, he said this or he said that. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with right now. And
So what you got to figure on is that entertainment now is the name of the game in talk radio. It isn't so much having some bullcrap political opinion.
What do you call it, bullcrap?
Because the political opinions in talk radio were never real anyway. You know that as well as I do. So it isn't about dummying up some political opinion. It's about having a radio show or having a talk show where the primary focus is entertainment. Sports?
Well, sports is something that the regular rank-and-file programmer and general manager can understand, yeah.
They can, now, do they understand comedy?
No, they don't.
Yeah, and I didn't think so.
But they do, but they're afraid of it because they're taking their cue from the advertisers. And, of course, the advertisers are taking their cue from them.
Well, if an advertiser is waiting for the manager and the program director of a radio station to tell them, now, here's a real safe bet for your advertising money, and he says it's sports.
He's saying it's sports because the advertiser was investing in sports, but they were investing in sports because they were told. You see what I'm saying?
So it's the same dumbass.
Well, it's not dumbass. It's at least as far as the advertiser goes, there might be a little bit of dumbass when it comes to the radio people.
Well, we're getting back to the same problem here again, okay? So we got advertisers, and all they're asking for is a place to put their money where they can advertise what it is that they've got. And they can do this in a, you know, in a safe manner. And they're looking at the station and say, well, what do you got? And the station says, well, we've got sports radio.
Right.
Couldn't they easily say that we also have a humor show, or we have a guy that does shtick, or we've got, you know.
Well, they could, but that means they've got to explain it. And they're not. I'm just telling you, Phil, from my experience, what's the easy thing to do as opposed to what is suicidal? And know.
All right. What's the easy thing for you to do?
What's easy for me to explain to a radio station to say to them, you know, this is a good bet. It's a comedy show. And
do they think that that's controversial?
I don't think they think comedy is controversial. I think they think dirty words. But sports, you can't go wrong.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Kyle in Denver, Colorado. Kyle, you're on a Phil Henry show here with David G. Hall.
Hey, hi, Phil. Hi, David.
How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, I'm real good. I wanted to, first of all, thank you, Phil, for doing such a great show. And we enjoy it here in the Rocky Mountains. And I want to ask David, do you know a guy by the name of Tim Hardaway? Not the basketball player, but a radio host?
Tim Hardaway. There was a basketball player named Tim Hardaway.
No, not him. But he was a radio host. He did a sports show. It might have been him now that I think about it, because it was a sports show.
Well, was it? But you don't know, huh?
Well, it was a basketball show.
And it was Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, it might have been the basketball player. But I don't think it was, because he kept talking about buying his suits at the short man store, and they had a sponsor for a long time. They had the tall and portly sponsor, and then they went to a short man store, a place called Helmsley's, in downtown Denver, and people would know, do you know this guy Hardaway?
You don't think it was a basketball player?
No, I don't think it was the basketball player. It might have been the basketball player.
It was a sports show, sir?
Yeah, for the third time now, it's the sports show.
Sir, don't get upset with me. I'm trying to figure out who it was. It was a sports show, and you said it was a basketball show.
Yeah, it was a basketball show. It was an NBA at a glance or NBA review show or something with Tim Hardaway.
But you don't think it was the basketball player because of the sponsor?
They had a sponsor, yeah, a Helmsley Short Man store where they sold suits, I guess, to small men. They I don't know the sizes, but they had them for guys anywhere from 4 foot to 5 foot two or something like that. So that's why I didn't think it was Hardaway as a basketball player, right? If that was him, right?
Well, it could have been Tim Hardaway just having a sponsor for short men's suits.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, no, because he said he did all of his shopping there. And,
well, he could be. He might have had a deal with the sponsor. Said, I do all my shopping at a short man store. But you're right, it wouldn't make much sense.
That's not going to make any sense if it's Tim Hardaway, the basketball player, who's a big, tall guy, and he says he buys all of his suits.
Yeah, no. I don't think it was the basketball player. I think you guys are wasting time with that. I don't think it was, because the guy that did this show was just to that point, said that he bought all of his suits at this short man store called Helmsley's. And they don't have anything there for anybody bigger than 5 foot one, 5 foot two.
Better eyes of blue is what I was going to say later. That was what I was going to say later on.
I'm sorry?
Hold on for a minute. What?
The eyes of blue.
Never mind.
What did he say about eyes of 5 foot two, eyes of blue? That's not talking about the song. I'm talking about a short man store where he sold suits for guys that were 4 feet tall.
Yeah, but on up to 5 foot two.
On up to 5 foot two, yeah. But the reason why I called your show now. I'm tired. I've got a chest pain and I'm tired.
Okay, sir, don't fool around with that. Do you need to sit down?
I do. God, you guys get me so aggravated. I called up Mr. Henry.
I apologize, Kevin. I really do.
I called up to know if Mr. Hall knew this host. I really like this sports show, and it might be a sports show that Mr. Hall could handle and make it a national show. But you guys got me so aggravated, and now I got chest pain.
I'm awfully sorry, sir.
I apologize, too.
That's all right. But anyway, if you guys find out who that is, could you tell me? I mean, would you make an announcement? I don't want to call back.
No, we will. I promise. Kevin, take care of yourself, and I apologize for getting you aggravated.
No, it's all right.
Okay, what the hell was that? All right, David, we're going to take a break here. I'm a little just... That was a very... distressing thing.
Yeah, that man didn't sound like he was doing well.
Well, I'm sorry that I don't know who Tim Hardaway, the radio host, is. I know the basketball player, and I think it's a logical conclusion that it was not the basketball player, since this guy buys his suits at a short man store.
We explained all of that to the guy, but he...
All right, well, find out who he is or was. We'll be back with David Hall here as we continue talking about sports radio, and the death of News Talk. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, it's 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll go to another phone call. Here we have David G. Hall on the line with us. David is at his home in South Pasadena as we talk about the so-called death of News Talk and the emergence of sports radio and what that's going to mean, you know, in the overall. Here we'll go to Sylvia now in Carson. Sylvia, on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead.
Phil, I listen to your program every night. I enjoy your program a lot. Thank you for taking my call this evening.
You're welcome, Sylvia.
You give me so much delight to listen to you.
Thank you.
Did you, Phil, and Mr. Hall, good evening to you, sir.
Yes, Sylvia, good evening.
Phil, did you see a story? You were mentioning this baseball player, Brent, who shot himself in the Boston Red Sox camp. You saw that story?
Yes, I was going to talk about that. This is a Red Sox prospect by the name of Bryce Brent, who was, I think, cleaning a gun, and it went off, and he shot himself. And now he's with, I believe, one of the Triple. I think he's with the AAA ball club, the Pawtucket Red Sox, or whatever club that is the Red Sox have in AAA baseball. But he is going to miss big league camp.
You know, the reason why I wanted to speak to you about this is if you make me laugh sometimes when you talk about how stupid, you know, some people are. But I love baseball and to listen to baseball. Do you think that this man, this Brent, is too stupid a man to play baseball if he clean a gun like this, you know?
We're talking about, we're not really talking about baseball, we're talking about sports radio.
I understand that, Mr. Hall, but I'm speaking to Mr. Hendry right now, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think of that, Bill?
That the guy is too stupid to play baseball?
Yeah, so the man was there.
Sounds like he is too stupid to me.
Did anyone ask you?
I beg your pardon?
Did anyone ask you, Mr. Hall? No one asked you. I'm talking to Mr. Hendry.
Okay, we don't need to be rude, though, Sylvia. You know.
I know, but this man, he's I don't want him anywhere around me. I don't want to listen to him. So, what do you think?
I think that this guy Brents is an idiot. I think he's a moron. Do I think he's qualified to play baseball? I don't know how many brains you need to play baseball.
Well, I don't think a guy is going to clean a gun with a round in the chamber. This is not smart at all. I don't think he's even smart enough to execute a hit and run. I don't even think he can read the signs from the catcher. I don't know what position he plays, but he is someone that is handicapped. I think he's a mentally handicapped.
Well, it was a stupid thing to do. He's cleaning a handgun. For those of you that don't know, this kid, Bryce Brents, playing for, I think, a AAA farm club of the Boston Red Sox, was at home cleaning a handgun. There's a round in the chamber. It goes off. The press release or the statement from the Red Sox said that it went off accidentally, and as somebody pointed out, there's no such thing as an accident when it comes to guns. They don't trigger spontaneously. He was cleaning it, and the gun went off. He shot himself. It's not serious. Apparently, he's going to recover, but he's going to miss big league camp. I think it's about the dumbest thing you can do. I don't think the guy's qualified to own a gun. I think they ought to automatically, if something like this happens, I think they should make it so that you are denied the right to own a gun for a certain number of years. What do you think?
Mr. Henry, that is the most. I think that is absolutely what is needed here.
Hey, I need to step in here, Phil.
I ask you not to say nothing. If you talk, I'm going to hang up. I think that's absolutely right, Mr. Henry, and you are right. Please, this Mr. Hall, I don't like him. I don't like listening to him. I don't like him at all. You keep his mouth shut if I'm on the show here. Thank you, Phil.
All right. Thank you very much, Sylvia. 877. Wow. 877-876-PHIL. All right, David.
You know, that was uncalled for, I thought, and you could have defended me a little bit and stood up for me. Here I got this old lady.
Well, she didn't want to talk to you. She wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, I know she wanted to talk to you, but I'm the guest, and you should direct the questions to me so that I... you know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Hold on. What? Sylvia?
What did I tell you? Did I tell you something or not?
You're not running this show.
Hold on. Sylvia, you're done.
Just tell his ass to stay off of the show.
Is she still there?
No, we cut her off. You've obviously pissed her off for some reason. I don't know what it is, but you've obviously...
I've obviously what? I didn't do anything. I'm on the show and I'm talking.
She just doesn't like the sound of your voice. She doesn't like your attitude. You know?
What attitude?
Well, I don't know. Whatever that attitude may be. Maybe she doesn't like suits the way I don't like suits.
I told you don't call me a suit. I'm not a suit. I wear a leather jacket. I wear jeans.
You try to look like you're what, air talent?
I don't try to. I think I do. Look, Phil, you know, I came on here to talk about the I came on here to talk to you about...
Hold on.
Hold on, not this... Hey, what did I tell you? I tell you to shut your mouth. I said...
Okay, that's all we need from then, bud.
Yeah, hold on. So Phil's going to hang up now because you're pissing people off. God, he's yelling at me.
Give me that. Hey, David, I can't have you on anymore because I want to move on, okay? Huh? I want to move on. See, I don't know. I just want to move on. I don't know what her problem is. You're bugging everybody, okay? So I'll talk to you later, okay? I'll talk to you later. Yeah. I'll talk to you later. You! Oh, my God.
What's his problem?
I'll talk to you later. You I'll talk to later.
Let me talk. Give me that. David, it's Margaret. Hi. Phil will talk to you later. Phil is going to talk to you later. He's not talking to you now. What? Yes, we're going to have... Yes, we are, but we're on the air right now. Phil Hendry, the host of the show...
Are you kidding me? Give me that.
Wait a minute. Give you giving me.
Give me. David, I'll talk to you later. Me, Phil Hendry, I'll talk to you later. This is Phil. Phil! And I'm saying that I'll talk to you later. I can't talk to you, Bud.
Hey, Mr. Hall. Hey, it's Bud. Yeah, well, they'll talk to you later. Okay, see ya.
Are you kidding?
What did you say?
I said, I'll talk to you. They said, they'll talk to you later. And you said, Margaret and Phil? I go, yeah. He said, okay.
Well, what was causing him not to understand it when we were talking to him?
I don't know. You guys are all yelling at him and everything and had that lady and everything.
Wait a minute. I said, I'll talk to you later, and he didn't know who...
Never mind.
Dave, like I got some magic code. I talk normal like a normal human being talk.
No, you don't, man. That's one thing you don't do. You don't talk like a normal human being talk. That's for sure. What about this guy, anyway?
You know, I'm thinking about this guy, Brett Sprint, man. He had a gun. He had a loaded gun. He had a round in the chamber.
He had a round in the chamber, and he was cleaning the gun. And I'm telling you right now, I think that the law should say, if you are such a knucklehead that you shoot yourself while you're cleaning your gun, that a bullet comes out of that gun and strikes you, and you survive it, I think you should have your right to own a weapon stripped from you for a number of years. Because not because you should have any kind of civil... I mean, I realize it's a right, a constitutional right, but you need to have that seriously abridged, man, if you don't even know enough to clean a gun after having emptied the gun of any and all bullets. Now, the editorial spin on this, I think this is very interesting, from Yahoo. The guy says, there's no good way to spin this for Brents. If the story we have been told is the entire truth, he's being careless with a loaded firearm. It's incredibly dangerous. If there's more to it and he was goofing off or somehow inebriated, well, it's just that much worse. Regardless, this is one of those things where the wise old man would say there's no such thing as an accident. It was a handgun Brents was trying to claim, Scott Lauber, the Boston Herald writes. Lauber added that Charrington said the Red Sox don't have a policy against players legally owning handguns, though such a policy might be tough to enforce if it did, Second Amendment, and so on. Hopefully the incident scared Brents into remembering the first rule of gun cleaning, make sure the weapon isn't loaded first. That also might be the second and third rule of gun cleaning. What a moron.
Well, you don't want this to be the occasion or an excuse for just calling someone a moron.
No, I think you do. I think you do. I think you absolutely do, you know. Because I'm a guy, I believe in gun rights, but when gun rights are flippantly taken in such a cavalier way that no one really exercises responsibility with those rights, then you got to point it out. That's what I think, anyway. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Our backstage pass entitles you to listen to thousands of hours of full and complete Phil Hendry radio shows that are among the funniest that have ever been recorded, ever been made, ever in the history of man on this planet. Yes, there have been people up and down the dial, people across the ages that have become fans of the Phil Hendry Show. Why don't you do it, too? Just get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. And you will have access to those thousands of hours of archived material, podcasts, webisodes, live video casts, recorded video casts, on-demand material of all kinds available to you there. And for only $9.95, man. And for it's just as Jack Nicholson said in the last detail, meatball sandwich, and for 50 cents. Well, not the same thing, but just as good. So go to philhendryshow.com.
Get a meatball sandwich.
Get a meatball sandwich, then go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
is
our bitch.
You sold me out, and I'll never forget it.
Good. Don't forget it, okay?
What?
Don't forget it.
I'll never forget it.
Good. Don't forget.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And for the first time in many a moon, we're very, very happy to have on the line with us from New Orleans, Louisiana, where I guess essentially he's been hanging since the Super Bowl. I don't know really whether or not, you've been there, Joe, since the Super Bowl, but I know that you were down there for the game. Joe Dickhead joining us from New Orleans, Louisiana. And how you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, and the city that can't forget, or the Big Tuesday, whatever they call it, Fat Tuesday or something, is doing very, very well as a result of another successful Super Bowl down here. I know you're a former resident of New Orleans, and I was saying hello to everyone on your behalf, although nobody in New Orleans has ever really heard of you, and I don't mean that to be an insult, but it's been a long time since you've been on the air here, isn't it?
1978, yeah, so... You know.
Yeah, I told them that you worked at a rock and roll station, and they said, that's great. And, and then I went back to what I was doing, which was getting people drinks, because we've been having a party here kind of nonstop the last 3 days here in the Joe Dickhead and the Professor Suite, because, you know, we're going to be churning up a lot of our picks for the basketball season, hockey, baseball, and, of course, the football season.
Now, we haven't had your NFL picks for a number of years. Are you going to be... exhibiting those again next season?
We will be doing the NFL picks we're doing for your website, and also we'll be doing the Phil Hendry Football League picks, and in conjunction with the Milwaukee Lions and some of the teams in the PHFL. The big news here in the Big Easy, Phil, though, is Joe Flacco, and what a jackball this guy turned out to be. Joe Flacco is a man that's taken a great deal of grief over the years, Phil, from a great many people. Joe Flacco, he wants to be considered an elite quarterback. I like to use the word elite, because that's how you mispronounce a word like elite, and Joe Flacco is the kind of dumbass that would mispronounce that word. Now, Joe Flacco, Phil, is a guy that on the sidelines at the very end of the Super Bowl was saying to his head coach, I think we ought to run out onto the field and tackle Ted Ginn if he breaks loose. Now, understand that the Baltimore Ravens had just yielded a safety so that they could get field position on the San Francisco 49ers there toward the end of the game.
Right. Can I just jump in, Joe?
Go ahead.
Sam Koch was punting the ball as the result of that safety.
Right. This was the free kick that the 49ers are going to get as a result of the safety, and that's what they got. And so Koch kicks the ball. Now, the 49ers have one of the best return men in the business in this kid, Ted Ginn Jr. Ginn takes the
ball. Now, understand something, that Joe Flacco is on the sidelines, and he's talking to anybody that will listen to him. He's saying, what if he breaks it? What should we do? Now, he even went to Coach John Harbaugh. I don't think he said anything to Harbaugh, because if he had said something to John Harbaugh, and I happen to know John Harbaugh, I know he's a very, very intelligent guy. He's not the kind of guy that's going to counsel anything stupid. That coach Harbaugh would have said something to him. But he says to one of the offensive linemen standing there, he says, if Ginn breaks it, and what he meant by breaking it, Phil, he meant if Ginn gets past the cover team, the Baltimore Ravens cover, he said, just run off of the sideline and tackle him.
So Flacco is telling his teammates to tackle Ginn from the sideline.
That is exactly right. Now, when a couple of the players question him and say, are you serious? He says, I don't know. I don't know what the rules state. Maybe they can penalize us. And then he said the magic words, maybe they can award them a score. I don't know, but we should do something. So Joe Flacco was counseling a patently illegal move because he wasn't sure of the rules. He wasn't sure what the punishment would be. And Phil, I'll tell you this right now, having talked to Bob Salusky and Ted Ginn, that's the return guy. I talked to another guy named Ted Ginn, who is also one of the official personnel people for the NFL. He got the exact same name as the return man. And I even asked him, I said, are you the return man for the 49ers? And you're also working for the league office. And he said, wouldn't you like to know? And he winked at me, but he looked to be a white man of about 67. So I'm going to say that it was not that guy, Phil.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
I think that's a very good bet, yeah. So anyway, I said, what is the rule state? He said, any patently unfair play. Any patently, blatantly unfair play by any player on the team will be thusly penalized by the officials, and the official penalty can be something as much as awarding a score to the other side. So Joe Flacco, even though the dumbass didn't know what he was saying, was absolutely correct. They could have awarded to the 49ers a score. And it could very well have been the touchdown that would have given San Francisco the win had Joe Flacco's advice to his teammates run out onto the field and tackle him had that been listened to.
All right. Well, as it turns out, Joe, and just backtracking a little bit, there was no need. The Ravens covered Ted Ginn. He got a pretty good return out of it, though, didn't he?
He got back to midfield. He was close to midfield. I think might a little bit past midfield, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it was a good return, but they did cover. And so they never did have to see what would have happened. But what you're telling me is, had the Baltimore Ravens players on the sideline come off that bench, gone onto the field and tackled him, you're saying the penalty that the official could have awarded would have been as much as a score.
That's what the NFL rules call for. In that situation, as much as awarding the other team a score, they could have awarded them a touchdown. Now, think of the score at that time, Phil, was 34-31 in favor of the Baltimore Ravens. Now, if you're the official, you could say, well, I'll award them a field goal, tie the ball game, and have it go into overtime.
I'd give them the touchdown.
That's exactly what I would do, because that is such a blatant foul. It's such a blatant penalty to come off of the bench and to tackle a player. I would absolutely, you'd have to, because you're talking about a kickoff. The only score that can result from a kickoff is a touchdown, if a score does result. And I think you would have to do that, and that would have been an absolute travesty. And I will tell you this, Joe Flacco would have gone from being an elite quarterback to one of the biggest morons that the National Football League has ever seen. And this is a league that has seen idiots, unbelievable idiots, down through the years. So, that's my take on this. And I'm Joe Dickhead, along with the professor, and we will see you next season, Phil, for a lot of the great the picks that we will have in the National Football League.
And you've been studying up on the names of cities because, Harvey Wireman has a little bit of your problem.
Well, I don't have a problem so much as I always thought it was Kinkinati, and I know it's Cincinnati, and I don't know. But I'm simply saying that there's a difference of opinion. Well, I got to turn this TV show off that I'm looking at. It's Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, and it's making me sick to my stomach.
All right, I'll see. Yeah, turn off the horror movie, okay?
That's what I'm going to do.
All right, we'll see you later then, Joe.
Yeah, this is Joe Dickhead reporting.
How about that?
What is his problem?
What do you mean, what's his problem? That's Joe Dickhead.
Yeah, he's one of the best sports reporters. What do you mean, what's his problem?
Well, he was all excited, and he's talking about this and that, and then he says, I'm watching Portrait of a Serial Killer. I've got to turn off or I'll throw up.
I don't know. He's watching Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. Have you guys...
No.
Oh, it's pretty good.
It is.
Yeah, I like it, but I mean, I wouldn't... It's a pretty scary movie, and I can understand what the hell he's doing watching that while he's on the radio. You're right about that, Margaret. All right, so there you go. Joe Flacco. Boy, that was a close call for you, Joe. I'm sure you've learned your lesson. And it was funny when the first thing he said, the first guy he talked to was Harbaugh. And Harbaugh said, you know, this and that. But if he'd said that to his coach, this might not have become such a big deal. The coach probably would have looked at him and said, no, we're not running out onto the field and we're not, you know, it ain't going to happen, man. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry and Dan Northcraft. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and learn to live again, baby. A backstage pass gets you access to thousands of hours of marvelous audio, the best radio show in the history of the world, only $9.95 a month. For a backstage pass, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our podcast available tomorrow, and, of course, Bobby Dooley's podcast debuting next week. Look for it there on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to it. Until tonight. At 10 Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern, let that be a lesson to you.